Al, it's time to get mysterious.
Ooh.
Mystery.
Mystery.
Ooh. That's the sound a mystery makes.
Yep, I'm pretty sure that's correct. Ooh, that's also a sound a ghost makes.
Spooky. Yeah, we're going to talk about a mystery show this week. That's what we're talking about. Here on this week's episode of the Seasonal Anime Checkup OVA, it's a podcast where we have conversations about video games, anime, and manga. Hello, I'm Jared, joined as always by Doc Allen, Lady
Hello.
This is episode number 448. And we're going to talk about Shoshimin. It's a series of novels. And
it is a series
anime.
Of novels.
Anime.
And an anime based off of a series of novels written by somebody that we know. Not know personally.
Yeah, we know personally, of course.
We know of.
Yes, these are written by Honobo Yonezawa. They, of course, wrote a little series called Hiyoka.
Hiyoka, which we are a big fan of.
Yes, and this was the series he wrote, or he started, I guess, before Hiyoka, but it's still ongoing, just like Hiyoka is. And it got an anime adaptation last year, and then the second season came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you know how long ago we watched Hiyoka? It had to have been ages ago.
Oh, jeez. I think we talked about it at some point.
I'm sure we did.
Nope, that's the wrong link.
My mama got me Hiyoka for Christmas one year, or my birthday one year. I don't remember. It was kind of impressive because Hiyoka is not an easy name to remember.
Well, of course. Okay, we watched the anime on an episode number 44, which was October of 2017.
Wow.
And then, of course, we also watched, on episode number 154, the live-action adaptation.
Right,
which was back in November of 2019.
With a spinny.
Which was a very strange adaptation of Hiyoka, for sure.
The spinning.
Spinning cameras, and just like, we got a horror director to do this. It's very bizarre.
I forgot the horror shots.
Yeah.
October 2017, wow, that was a bad month. I'm surprised we got anything done that month.
Oops. I mean, oops. What else were we doing in October of 2017, you might be asking?
In terms of
the podcast. In terms of the podcast.
Okay. I was like, I don't think you want me to say that.
But No. In terms of the podcast. Just trying to figure out what else was going on here. Okay.
Try easy stuff.
The following, okay, here's the final week of October was 5 centimeters per second,
okay.
The film. The week before that was a grab bag where we talked about Layton's Mystery Journal, Blue Reflection, Pyre, and Bad Apple Wars.
Wow.
Back when we put Otome games in grab bags.
I don't know how we would do that.
Hiyoka in the middle of the month. And then to kick off October, of course, we talked about Danganronpa V3.
October was a bad month.
So there you go.
Wow.
A little look into the past.
Okay.
Eight years ago.
Wow. Bonkers.
But yeah, Shoshimin, it's fun. It's a fun little mystery series.
It is fun.
I guess we never talked about season one. It's good. You should watch it.
Mm-hmm. If you like Hiyoka, you're going to be into this, I think, but it is a bit different.
Yeah, it's not necessarily as, like, super focused in on a character, like, being the detective as necessarily Hiyoka is. Like, there's still some of that here. It's just a little bit kind of more subdued, I would say. And a lot more of, like, the mysteries are slow burns throughout the entirety of the season rather than just kind of, like, little story arcs here and there.
Yes.
And then, of course, like, you know, you should probably watch season one because it definitely just leads right into season two, of course.
Yes.
Season one was based off of the first two books that were written. Season two was based off of books 3, 4, and 5. And then there is a 6th book out that was released last year.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
which has not been adapted, of course.
Of course. Yeah.
I figure we'll just talk about season two because, you know, season one was last year and that was like 7,000 years ago.
Yeah, I remember last year.
But it is a good, it's a good first season, good introduction to all the characters. The mysteries are fun and interesting. And of course, leads you off on a cliffhanger heading into season two.
Also, one thing that should be mentioned is that the animators really like to flex.
Yes.
They do like really cool stuff where they like have the characters basically like, I don't want to say warp because that's not the right phrasing, but like they'll be sitting in a regular room or whatever, and they're like, what if we just put them at like a riverbed and they're talking and Kate pushes red face first into a chair.
That sounds about right. I mean, hey, it ain't a podcast unless a kitty somehow gives themselves a concussion.
Because
they're very smart.
They'll put them on like a bridge or whatever and do like really beautiful like sunsets and things like that. Like they really, really flex. And I think it's just like to make these conversations have like more emotional impact than just like two people sitting in a room talking at each other.
It's almost as if like if it was a like live action series, it's like they're like green screening them into like different locations in a sense.
Yeah, yeah. And like it's very clear based on like credits and stuff that like these are based off real locations, which it was the same with Hyoka that they based it off real locations.
Yeah.
But they have like actual pictures of these things and they're like, here are the characters on top of these.
Yeah, it's like like real video essentially.
Yeah, yeah. It's super, super cool. And the eyes are pretty.
And I would also go as well to kind of piggyback off that, like there's a lot of the cinematography in this series is just incredibly well done. Just a lot of really good shots, like, you know, like you said, the conversation stuff, but like just within the series itself, especially when you get into like the deeper into the mysteries and everything, they really are able to like showcase the complexities of what's happening in some really fun and unique ways. But yeah, season two came out earlier this year, ran from April to June, and was some interesting mysteries we found throughout this. Split in between like the books 3 and 4, I think are basically similar. At least from the titles, I haven't read any of these any of the books yet. I don't know if you have or not.
I went back and read this book after we finished the season.
Nahone. So yeah, it's split up into that, and then the other book is the kind of the second half of the season, essentially. So you get two different mysteries scattered throughout, and season two, of course, is coming off of the cliffhanger of the first season, which we see Osanai and Kobato basically splitting off from each other, which was an interesting way to end that first season and be like, wait, what are they going to do when these characters are kind of like away from each other now? Like, how is that going to, how is, and like, they're like, oh, we're doing a second season of this. So like, how, what are we doing here? Like, how is this show going to operate with them to not being together?
Right. Cause they kind of like play off of each other the whole first season. So you're like, oh, how does this dynamic change with them being separated? And it does. It changes, but
yes,
it works out.
Because basically, you kind of have like split scenes of just like them doing their own thing with their new significant others and everything. And of course, a lot of this, the first half of the season revolves around Osanai's new boyfriend, who's on the newspaper club, and it starts investigating the series of arsons that is popping up, and kind of like becoming more and more obsessed with this. With the story and trying to, you know, uncover the mystery of it, find the culprit and all that sort of stuff. And basically throughout the story arc just like gets continually way in over its head to the point where it's like everything just falls apart for him by the end of it. And it's messy.
Osanai is also like, she's always been a bit like sassy, I suppose.
Yes.
But she is brutal in this season. Like, she just destroys this kid's self-esteem at one point. I was like, oh damn, kid, what are you doing? But it was also kind of satisfying, so there's that.
She's very strategic in what she does.
She is, yes, 100%.
She's always got, like, you know, she's got everything planned out five moves ahead. and, you know, does that to benefit herself in a lot of ways. But yeah, it's just, it's interesting to see how this all plays out. We
Also,
were,
not afraid to come across as a little bit unhinged as well.
yes, we figured out basically who the culprit was pretty early on within
Yes, we
this,
did. We did.
which ends up being the boyfriend's friend who keeps like kind of like egging him on and like being like, oh, you should keep doing this and everything, which is like,
But then it's also like, oh man, I have to go to three different cram schools. I can't
Yeah,
help you out
it's
on anything.
like,
And we're like,
what?
what? No way. That sounds fake.
That's not how this works.
But getting to the conclusion of that is actually very good.
Yeah.
Like that playground scene with the two of them, like putting it all together, is incredible.
Yeah. But yeah, the boyfriend just keeps doing all this because it's like, she's like, oh, you know, I like people who have like drive and motivation and everything. You should keep doing this. He's like, yay, I'll do this. Yay, I'm so happy. And just goes completely overboard in like a sense where like the school wants to shut down the newspaper. They're just like getting in trouble for like the way they are reporting on this and everything. It's very much kind of like, I know like in a sense he is part of a newspaper club, but it just feels very like citizen journalisty
It totally
in the way
does.
that he is going about this and like trying to figure this whole thing out and thinking that like, you know, he's gonna be the one that solves this whole thing and then just like doesn't in the slightest.
Yeah, he's just trying to be a hero and fails
And it blows
miserably.
up in his face. And yeah, you get to that end scene in the playground where like she just blows up on him and like not necessarily blows up on him, just like kind of unveils like every part that she has played in this and like how she's kind of manipulated things as well and like showcases like how many parts of this whole thing he's gotten wrong. And he's just like,
Because he suspects her.
yes. And she's like, no,
No.
no,
Nope.
nah,
Mm-mm.
you fool. It's
You
like,
buff you buffoon.
one of those scenes where like a character is just getting everything thrown back at them. And it's like a bunch of arrows with like the words say of what they're getting wrong, just stabbing him in the chest repeatedly.
Yep.
He just brutalizes this poor kid. He's just like,
I mean, absolutely destroys his self-esteem.
yeah.
And then it turns out that she did it because he tried to kiss her without permission.
Yep. He's like,
I was like,
nah,
hell
don't want
yeah.
that.
Good for her, honestly. She's like ruined that man's entire year and also probably his self-esteem for ages because he tried to kiss her. She's my hero.
And then Jogoro just like shows up like in there as well. It's like, hey, you want to have a conversation about this and let's unveil actually what happened.
Yep. She's like, do you suspect me too?
It's just very funny how like the whole first half of the season like is building up that they're apart and like not working together in the slightest. But by the end of it, you realize, oh, they basically kind of were.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of like reunite. Because he has that girlfriend that like he just like gets with because she asked him out and then eventually finds out that like she's cheating on him and he's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I
And
don't care.
then she breaks up with him because she's like, why didn't you get mad about that? And he's like, I don't
And
care.
she's like, why did you even say yes? He's like, cause you asked me? He's like, so it's not anything to do with me, really. And he's like, eh. So she gets real mad at him. He's like,
Yeah.
this is why I don't like you. Eh.
And he's just like, again, just like, eh.
He does not care.
No. But yeah, they have the whole conversation breaking down exactly the whole gist of everything that went down and like here's like all the facts and everything. And then they're like, all right, you want to just keep doing this thing again? They're like, yeah. It's like, all right. And then we get into the second half of the season, which is Jokuro just gets run over by a van and then he's in the hospital for the rest of the season and we got to figure out what happened.
So this
And
is the book that I read.
yes. And a lot of this as well is parallel because like he had a similar situation when he was younger and basically kind of did the similar thing as what the boyfriend did in the first half of the season, just like, you know, thought he could solve this whole case and was going to be the hero and everything, and things went very badly with regards to how he went about this. And I think it's interesting that like we get to see the catalyst for how he is in the very beginning of the series, where he's like, I don't want to do any of this sort of stuff. I just want to live a, you know, a relatively normal life, you know, hence the name of the show and everything.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to solve anything. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I don't want to investigate. This is not for me.
Yeah. Because he basically, you know, he's younger when he does this mystery in the past that he's reminiscing about and everything. Mm-hmm. And kind of has that, this air of arrogance and confidence and kind of cockiness that, like, oh, I can figure this out. I know how to do this, even though he's like 12 or something. I don't know how old he would be here.
He was a third year in middle school, so he'd 13, probably be 14. About 13, 14.
Yeah, so again, very young, and you know, you have this kind of feeling that, like, you know, you're invincible and nothing mm-hmm. bad can happen to you type of deal. And he, you know, he goes about this, and this is where he meets Osanai as well, and that's where they kind of get their relationship and start mm-hmm. off with that and everything. And he
also don't, like, understand the gravity of consequences as much then.
Right, exactly. That too. But, like, yeah, he keeps going through and trying to solve this mystery, even though, like, he's told multiple times, like, hey, don't do this. You should back off and everything. He's like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure it out.
I'm so close to getting it.
And just, like, the further he gets to figuring it out, the more he just causes problems with other people and just unravels secrets that didn't need to be unraveled and everything. And basically just, like, ruins people's lives for the sake of solving this mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's kind of stuck in the middle of, like, I'm in a similar situation now, and what do I do type of deal. And just, like, reminiscing about that mystery kind of, like, is trying to help him figure out exactly what happened to him and everything. And it's interesting because, like, a lot of the action scenes, I guess we'd say, is kind of, like, shown through the past and all that. Whereas mm-hmm. a lot of the present stuff is just, like, it's him in the hospital room. Just, like,
he has a broken leg and some broken ribs and stuff. He can't move.
Yeah, he's just kind of stuck there. He's, like, you know, jotting down notes of what he remembers and everything. He's exchanging messages with Osanai because, like, they don't get to meet with each other because anytime she shows up, he's out cold. And that's how they kind of relay messages to each other, and she's off kind of investigating as well, mm-hmm. doing her own thing, but we don't really get to see that side of it because we're seeing it through his eyes, essentially. And then there's also mysteries and within the hospital of what's going on, and there's a whole just, like, unraveling of this whole thing that really goes in some interesting ways that I certainly wasn't expecting by the time we get to the end of it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's told in the beginning that, like, the kid he was investigating and trying to help in the past had, like, committed suicide.
Yes.
Or allegedly committed suicide, I should say. They don't really know for sure. And that's what basically kind of jostles his memory, essentially, of, like, this is that mystery and everything. And let me kind of go over the facts and everything of what happened and see if where I went wrong, essentially, and all that sort of stuff. Meanwhile, Osanai just, like, I'm figuring things out on my end. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Here's some chocolates.
Yay, chocolate. Eat one a day.
One a day, or I'll get mad. I'll bonk you. But yeah, he's just, you know, he's doing his thing. He's going through physical therapy and all that sort of stuff. He has a nurse looking after him and just loves to drink water and sleep a lot, which, like, in the beginning of this arc, of course, like, it makes sense that, like, you know, you just went through a traumatic injury, or I guess mm-hmm. a couple traumatic injuries. You're going to be sleeping a lot because your body needs rest to recuperate and all that sort of stuff. But, like, you start seeing through the calendar and, like, the clock on his room and everything, like, he's, you know, he's been in the hospital for a little bit of time, you know, a week or two. And, like, you know, we see that time progression and everything, but he keeps sleeping for these long extended periods of time, especially, like, from, like, through the, for, like the afternoon to, like, the middle of the night kind of deal. And mm-hmm. it's, like, one of those things where you look at as the time progresses, like, this, something's wrong here, because, like, he shouldn't be doing this much sleeping when he's, you know, starting physical therapy and all that sort of stuff and been in the hospital for this long. Like, something's not right here.
I was so proud of myself that I figured this out.
You put on your sleuth cap and you're like, what if he's getting drugged?
And I was like, he's getting drugs. Somebody's drugging his water.
Yes.
Putting sleeping medication.
Which was the case.
Whoa!
He was getting drugged.
Drugged.
So he goes sleepy. Honkshua.
Must be nice.
Yeah. But yeah, you, he eventually remembers basically everything that happened through that past mystery and like how all that unraveled and like the mysterious girl the dude was with and all that sort of stuff. And that all comes to a head when he realizes that the mysterious girl that was with the dude that almost got ran over is his current nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, there's all these like inconsistencies he remembers of like, you know, all these other doctors are coming in. They have name tags, of course, because they're working in a hospital and people in a hospital have name tags. Like that's just, that's his general procedure and everything.
Right. She like takes him the long way to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, because so she doesn't have a name tag. She doesn't go by the nurse's station. She won't let him leave the hospital. And then he starts putting two and two together like, this seems a little strange. I think this is something's wrong here. And also, he gets like a message from Osanai at one point telling him to like water the flowers. And that's where
when
he,
I figured out the sleeping thing.
He starts to put two and two together like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Wait just a ding dong second.
And that all comes to a head at the end when like Osanai shows up in the middle of the night to like see him. And she's like, hey, you figure things out yet? And he's like, I think I figured things out. And they both realize that the nurse is like drugging him, and then because like she takes him to go to the bathroom, and she mm-hmm. goes by the nurse's station, and he's like, "Wait a minute, why would we go? This is a much shorter route. Why wouldn't I have gone this way before? Hang on a second." And then like they return to the room, and like the nurse is there, and she's got like a hammer.
Yep.
And they're like, "What the heck is happening here?"
Ah! She was going to bonk him on the leg.
Bonk him on the leg. And then also she gets pocket sanded.
She does get pocket sanded. I was so happy when that happened. I was like, oh my God, pocket sand. Hell yeah.
There's also a part where like, I think it's when they're on the roof or there's some point where like, he asks Osanai like, hey, do you got a hammer with you? And she's like, why would I have a hammer on me? And it was so funny.
To be fair, she did have a sledgehammer in the last arc.
Yeah, but like she's just like, why would I bring a hammer with me to a hospital? What are you talking about? But the nurse basically describes or explains that like she was the kind of a strange sister of the dude who got ran over in the mystery in the past, and like her and her brother were like trying to form a relationship, but like the parents were like. Not having, we're having problems and everything, and like them being together would cause problems if the parents found out about it. And then once he started like poking his nose into like relationships and everything, that got found out and basically split the family even further. And there was no real hope for reconciliation and everything. And mm-hmm. like that whole thing also drove the dude to try and commit suicide. And it's just like a whole mess of a thing. And he's just like, oh, yeah, I kind of did do that. Ooh, ew. That was bad. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to mess you up now for this. You're done for.
Also, I ran over you.
Yeah, also, it was me who ran over you. You kind of deserved it. He's like,
ugh. A little extreme, but I see your point.
Yeah. Osanai's like, I'm going to beat you up.
I love that she's so small and wants to fight everybody.
Yes. She's you.
Honestly, I feel that. I
big
really
owl
rela-
energy in her.
I really relate to her.
But yeah, she's about to like bonk them in the head with a hammer, and then the dude from the past mystery shows up who is alive and everything. He just got like a, I think he has like a cane because like his legs messed up because he like jumped out of a building, I think, or jumped off a roof or something.
I thought he jumped off a bridge.
He jumped off something to mess up.
He jumped
like,
off something,
to
yes.
mess up one of his legs, so he has to walk yes. with a cane and everything. And he's like, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this. Do you want to go to jail for life? Like, that seems bad. Maybe we should just stop here. Which in the meantime, like, Osanai's already called the cops and, like, got them here. Or, like, she's getting them on the way while mm-hmm. this is all happening. So, like, the dude showing up makes her kind of, like, stop and realize, like, oh, this is kind of messed up. I'm doing something dumb.
Yeah, this is not a good move for me.
And she basically surrenders to the cops. And there's a good scene as well where, like, Jokeru and the dude, like, have a conversation. And he's kind of like, yeah, that was my bad for poking and prodding into your personal relationships, trying to figure out that mystery. Like, I thought I was going to be this cool guy who figured out this mystery and everything. And now I realize, like, wow, that was super messed up for me to do. And
yep.
That's super my bad. I'm sorry, dude. And the guy's like, yeah, it was your bad. But also, like, I'm not going to hold it against you. Like, it's, you know. The past is the past. Yeah. We're kind of past that now. I saved you from not getting murdered. We're even.
My sister didn't murder you. You're welcome.
And my sister didn't bonk you with a hammer. All right. See you later.
Bye. It's New Year's.
It is New Year's. And then he also, like, Joker also has the problem of being, like, he's been in the hospital for, like, weeks now. So, like, he's kind of, like, not going to be able to graduate high school now.
Yeah, he's, like, missing all the exams
and stuff.
That sucks so bad. I'm wondering, like, if there's any kind of thing that he could do, like, I was going to say, like, a summer thing, but he can't because he missed the entrance exams.
Yeah, I don't know what you would do in that case. Because, obviously, like, there's going to be, like, schools would have to have, like, some sort of, like,
Contingency plan,
yeah, to, like, if someone gets into an accident and gets injured at, like, specific points in time in a school year, like, what do you do?
What I would assume is going to happen, and I could be wrong, is that he would be able to, like, make it up through the summer and then have to take, like, a gap year so that he could then do entrance exams the year after.
Yeah, that would make sense.
That would be my assumption.
You wouldn't just, like, make him, like, oh, you got to repeat the whole year.
Right. Like, obviously, he doesn't need to do that. I feel like they would, like, fast track him over the summer and be like, all right, you can graduate. But then he'd have to, like, because he does say he's going to take time to do the entrance exams.
Yeah. You can't just, like, they can't just basically, like, here's an entrance exam for you. And then we'll see if you get in a week before school starts type deal. I guess I also don't know if they do the thing in Japan of, like, where you could technically start in, like, winter instead of the summer.
Right. Like a rolling. Yeah. Application type thing. I don't know.
But yeah, but it's one of those things that, like, you don't necessarily ever, like, really think of, but, like, it's a really weird situation for someone to have to be in. And, like, there's so many other factors that would have to be in place as well that you would have to have because these types of things aren't necessarily, like, a super rare thing. Like, people are going to get into accidents and get injured and be out of like a school for an extended period of time. So what do you do in those situations? Like, what's the plan for that? So it was, I think it was interesting to me just, like, see that brought up and, like, have that come to mind and, like, have to have, like, that, or, like, just think of, like, the, what would happen in that situation. 'Cause I never really had that thought before, really. So, So I thought that was interesting. And then there's the whole thing at the end as well where, like, they technically split up again, but she's just like, yeah, I'm going to college, you know. I'm not going to sit around and wait, but, you know, if you want to come find me when you decide to go to college as well, like, you know, I'll be around. You can find me.
I think she says Kyoto.
I think so. And he's like, all right. That makes sense. That's fair.
The scene goes down a little bit differently in the book, which is interesting.
Oh.
I wonder if it's
because, like, they needed, like, a wrap up for the anime.
Maybe, because there's a lot more romantic implications.
Yeah.
In the book, like, they hint at it here, but, like, it's pretty blatant in the book.
I mean, there's a lot of hinting at it, I guess, throughout the entire series, where, like, everyone thinks they're dating, and they're just kind of like, eh.
But the thing that I think is so interesting about the way they handle it in the book is that it is a very, like, Osanai way of how she handles it. Because she's like, you know, I could do better than you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what she says in the... She says something similar in the anime, I feel like, as well.
Yeah, yeah, but she, like, goes into detail on this about, like, you're good now, and, you know, I think I could definitely do better, but, like, I think for now you'll do. I was like, God, girl. And I mean, she does kind of, like, dunk on him a few times in the, like, quote unquote confession. But he's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. You could do better than me, but, you know, let's see where this goes. I was like, oh, that's kind of cute, I guess. Because, I mean, like, that's, I feel like that's more realistic to be like, these two have been, like, dancing around each other, I guess, for a few years at this point.
Right.
And, like, they realize, like, hey, we do work well together, and, you know, that there's something going on, and, you know, we're not going to be in the same area for the next year or whatever, so, you know, whatever happens, happens, but, you know, there are feelings.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm interested to see, like, what would come after this. I don't know, the translation place that is totally legal have the next book?
I don't know.
I'll have to check and see. I might still have it on my iPad. But I would be interested to see what happens after this.
Yeah, because, like, there's so many different ways you could go with it.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, so I'd be very curious to see exactly what they decide to do with this series.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it good.
Yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I feel like we kind of had a feeling we would, excuse me, both have a good time with this because, like, you know, we like Tioka and everything, so. Going into this, it was like, oh, this is probably going to be something, not necessarily similar, but like, is something also enjoyable. But I do like how it's not necessarily just the same as Hioka.
Right. It's not a, like, copy-paste type scenario.
No, it's similar, but it is still pretty different, which is good. I like that they're like, we can have these two series that are kind of similar by the same author, but they do their own separate things, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always good. But yeah, if you are a fan of the mysteries, if you liked Hioka especially, mm-hmm. this is a series you should definitely take a look at.
Yeah, definitely take a look. And like I said, it's really pretty. Also, the desserts all look incredible all the time.
That is also true.
Yeah, it's pretty unfair how good all the, like, snacks look. It almost made me try a Mont Blanc on Saturday, and I was like, wait a minute, I don't like chestnuts?
Mont Blanc.
Yeah, well, I saw one. I was like, oh, I saw that in the show. they liked it in the show. Maybe I should try it. And I was like, wait, you don't like that nut. What are you doing? So, but that one tart looked so good for the season one. And then it died. Now I want sweets.
Sweet time.
Nom, 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 nom.
But yeah, good series. And that's going to do it for us this week, I think. Unless you have anything else you want to say.
Nope.
Pee pee poo poo.
Exactly that.
There you go. So yeah, if you'd like more from us, head on over to seasonlimitcheckup.com or sec.co, where you can find past episodes of this podcast and other podcasts. Like Jared Now Watch. You can also find columns and reviews on the site as well. If you'd like more from Ann Ladium, go to annladium.com. She's got columns and reviews. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Anime Checkup. Follow us on Blue Sky Season, AnimeCheckup.com. You can buy our books, One Shining Moment, Critical Analysis of Sunshine, Hot Tubs, and Pac-Man on Amazon.com. And you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/SACOVA. Buy us a slice of pizza. Get access to unedited versions of the podcast early. Our monthly exclusive Patreon podcast. I got to figure out a movie to watch for us this month. So I'll have to do that at some point.
Yep, you will.
Yep. So we'll have a new episode of that out pretty soon. And you can also find a bunch of the other episodes of that and other bonus content on the site as well. Next week will be in August. Exactly. So we'll figure out what we're going to talk about to kick off August.